You're listening to the Raising Humans Kind podcast with family psychologist Ashley, where we dive into the big topics, the stuff that really matters in raising your small humans kindly, so that together we can raise humankind. In this series, you're going to hear solo episodes from me all about the needs of our stuck and sensitive kids. I hope it challenges you, and I hope it inspires you to find your own unique pathway in raising your small human kindly. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. So I'm just going to dive straight in today because today's topic is about medical trauma. And this is obviously a really tricky one for anybody who has found themselves in this circumstance where they have felt that they have needed to take their child to hospital or have some kind of surgery or some kind of medication where it's really been quite frightening or a really difficult experience for the child. And this comes up a lot in the Kind Collective, in our membership space, which is, you know, obviously the place where we're talking about stuck and sensitive children. And so one of the reasons why kids can get stuck is because of experiences like medical trauma and, you know, being in hospital and having interventions or procedures or medicines that they weren't wanting to have. And it's a really tricky thing for families to navigate because they're pulled between what they believe will support their physical health and then what they also believe will support the child's emotional health. So it's a really challenging place for families to find themselves in. And so I wanted to do a podcast on kind of recovering or bouncing back from something like a child being in hospital or a child having a procedure or a child, you know, any of those examples. But before I do that, I want to dive into the difference between, you know, a child experiencing trauma and a child experiencing a rupture. So, you know, a question that comes up a lot from families is like, oh, I had to give my child medicine or I had to hold them to do this. And I would, you know, in many cases, I would describe that as a rupture. I would describe that as, you know, not ideal and something that needs repair and something that needs support, but not exactly the same as trauma. And I think that sometimes when we use the word trauma or we think my child's had this traumatic experience, it can interfere in the way that we show up to repair and it can interfere in the way that we hold what has happened. And so I think sometimes we just need to be really mindful, was this really traumatic or was this a rupture? And either way, I need to repair. Either way, I need to do some work around it. Either way, I need to support my child through it. But I just invite you to think about the difference because sometimes when we call something traumatic, it really shakes us up. And that then interferes with our ability to actually create the repair. So what I want to talk about today is my four-step kind of acronym or approach that I use to support any family through any kind of trauma. It's actually, it doesn't matter if it's medical trauma or not, but I want to talk about it today in terms of medical trauma. So the acronym is SAFE. S for separation, A for attachment, F for feelings, and E for emotional expression. And the idea is that when a child has experienced a trauma, it means that something's happened too fast, too quickly, too intensely for their nervous system to integrate. And so then as a result of that, there can be a lot of defenses and a lot of behaviors and a lot of challenges in terms of them moving into their feelings and moving into their vulnerability and moving into connection because there has been this experience where they haven't felt safe. And so really our work in its essence and at its core is to help them feel safe again. So we help them to make sure that separations feel safe again, to make sure that attachment feels safe again, to make sure that feeling feels safe again, and to make sure the emotional expression feels safe again. And this really becomes the core of our work around any experience where a child has felt unsafe. And so if we think about the idea of, you know, a child being in hospital, then there's been a really big separation. And when a child feels too much separation, that's going to cause a lot of alarm. And so the best way to do that in order to counteract that is to initially just reduce as many separations as we can and build in a lot of connection to any separations we have to have. So really being mindful and conscious about the separations that our children experience after something like medical trauma is really important. The second thing is attachment. So what can happen is sometimes children feel really vulnerable after an experience where maybe they thought they were going to die. Maybe they thought something big was going to happen. Maybe they felt really sick and really scared. And sometimes what can happen is that they feel scared to be led by us. And so they start to be really dominating and really in control. And it's just their way of trying to feel safe. And so our work is to try and get back into that leadership position and help them rest in that attachment again. And the next thing is feelings. So one of the first things to go when a child has felt unsafe in some experience is that they don't want to feel vulnerable again. That vulnerability felt too intense. That near loss felt too intense. And so that vulnerability is something that they try and avoid really quickly. And so our work becomes, how do we help them enter into those vulnerable feelings? Because vulnerability is the key to maturity. And it's the key to living a, as Brené Brown would say, a wholehearted life. And so it's absolutely essential. And if our child, for whatever reason, pulls out of that vulnerability, our work becomes, how do we get them back into that and feeling those more vulnerable feelings? Because they're the ones that are quick and easy to defend against. And then emotional expression. So if we think about some medications, we think about some interventions, the child's emotion has been held in the body, right? Like if there's some kind of procedure or surgery, the child has had to be put to sleep, then everything's been held in. And any fear that was coming up hasn't been able to be expressed through the body. And so what's really important in order to resolve some of these things is to get that emotional expression out. And one of the best ways to do this is through playfulness. So integrating and weaving playfulness into our day, throughout our life with our child once they come home or after such an event, because that playfulness will help shift that energy and help resolve it. So making separation safe, making attachment safe, making feeling their vulnerable feelings safe, and making emotional expression safe. And when we just keep coming back to those core ideas, we keep coming back to those foundations, then we don't have to get so caught up in what happened, and we don't need to get caught up in the story, and we don't need to worry so much about what should I do. These are the four things to do. These are the four core elements of helping a child recover from any trauma. But I specifically wanted to talk about it in terms of medical trauma, because I know it's a really common one that parents that comes up a lot in our world. And it comes up a lot in the Kind Collective, in our membership, and with my one-to-one clients. And so I really wanted to give you this map, this kind of outline of what it would look like. So making sure that whenever the child does need to separate from you again, that you've recognized that child has already had a massive separation, whether that was an anticipated separation or a real life separation, we need to now be really mindful and conscious of the separations that that child faces again, so that we're not adding more alarm into their system. And so how can we reduce them when they're not necessary? How can we bring in lots and lots of connection and safety when they are necessary? And how can we just be really mindful that this child isn't necessarily going to want to or be ready to separate at the same time or in the same way that other children their age might be? And that's a really hard thing to hold as a parent. It's a really hard thing to hold that truth. And then again, attachment. So we're really working on deep connection. We're really working on holding space for emotions. We're really working on leadership. We're really working on our own regulation. And I think in order for us to make attachment safe for a child who's felt a big rupture or traumatic experience, it really requires us to dive into our own work. It really requires us to dive into the very things that are getting in our way of being that open, spacious parent that our child needs us to be. And so that's the kind of work that we do inside the Kind Collective under the Parenting Fundamentals. It's really about, what are your unconscious fears? What's blocking you from having capacity to hold more of your child's alarm? Where are your deeper desires that aren't getting met? Where are your, somatically, can you be with that experience in your body? Have you had enough practice to be with that edge and to really be able to hold that while also staying regulated? It's really big work, but it's important when a child's had such a big rupture that we show up to do our own work so that we can hold what they need us to hold while they recover. And then, as I said, feelings. So it's really about vulnerability. I went into that a little bit before. So just about feeling sad, feeling remorse, feeling guilt, feeling disappointment. All of those feelings that make us feel so vulnerable are the first ones kids want to get rid of. All of us, we all do. They're the first ones. As soon as we're feeling too vulnerable in life, or we've had, you know, an experience where we faced separation in a way that we never thought we would need to, we had that reality of the fact that death is a real part of life, then many people, children included, just don't want to feel vulnerable anymore. It feels too much. It feels too intense. So they get stuck in that mad, aggressive state, and you don't see them move into sad, move into disappointment, move into remorse. And that's really where the heart of the work is. And then again, emotional expression. So really using playfulness, because it isn't vulnerable. When you play, when you are playful with a child, so I'm not talking about play, but when you are getting them to laugh, when you're getting them to move their body, when you're getting them to giggle in a way that's really natural and fluid, then you're helping shift any of that stuck energy that could have been stored in the body, but they're not having to be vulnerable, which is really important when a child has experienced some kind of rupture or trauma. They don't need more vulnerability. We can't push them into the vulnerability too quickly. It's a really slow and gentle process. And the playfulness is the key while you're waiting for that vulnerability to come. Okay, so I hope that gives you a framework. I hope that gives you a little bit of a map about the types of things that are really important to focus on. And then I hope that that can keep you grounded and guided, because it can be really easy to get overwhelmed and to focus on the detail and to get caught up in the fluff. And really, I want you to come back to what really matters: separations, attachment, feelings, and emotional expression. And if you do that, that will be what helps your child recover from any form of repair, any form of rupture, sorry, or any form of trauma, but specifically in terms of medical trauma, this is a really good guide. So I dive into this in a lot more detail in my workshop on healing at home, which is this guide. Basically, I go through this acronym in a lot more detail. And the aim of that workshop was really to support families to have that framework and that map so that they can help their child heal at home. Because I think all too often we try and outsource this challenge. Where's the psychologist? Where's the psychiatrist? I need to send my child to something. But often these children just need to be at home, and they just need these foundations to be worked through with their primary caregivers. And that's actually the work. And you, as the primary caregiver, you are actually the best person for that job, not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist. So my aim here is to give you the map, give you the information, so that then you can do the work with your child at home, because that's what your child really needs. So if you do want more detail on this, that workshop is called Healing at Home. I'll link it below. It's also part of my membership, The Kind Collective. We open again in January. So you get to watch that for free if you join the membership. But I hope that this just helps guide you on what's really important and what really matters. Thank you for joining me. If you loved this episode and want more like this, leave a review or screenshot this podcast, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag me at @RaisingHumansKind. This is such a powerful way to support the podcast and means it will reach more parents who need to hear this message. And if you want to dive deeper, check out the show notes for all the further information so that we can raise our small humans kindly, and together we can raise humankind.